Manx Radio's Countryside is brought to you by NFU Mutual.
Hello and welcome to the new series of Countryside here on Manx Radio. I'm Simon Clark.
And I'm Kiri Kermode. Last week I caught up with Sarah Comish, the General Secretary for the Manx National Farmers Union, to talk about Manx Farmers for Schools.
I talked to Charlie Corkle from the Isle of Man Federation of Young Farmers to find out more about being nominated for the Community Initiative of the Year. Also, I went to the past and present photo exhibition held by Michael Heritage. Well, welcome back to our listeners and to yourself, Kiri, for this new series of Countryside here on Manx Radio. It's that steady time of year, I suppose, for farming, isn't it?
It really is. It's that break before the winter routine sets in. And what a great month it has been. After the rain finally disappeared, we can enjoy a little bit of warmth and a lot of grass growth around the countryside at the present time.
Yeah, and you can see the kale and bits and pieces growing quite mad. It must have suited some of the crops, certainly the weather that we've had.
Oh, certainly. Even new grass seeds have been put in, which were thought to be quite late getting planted, but they're thriving. It's really quite mild. A lot of the young stock is now coming in and putting on winter rations ready for fattening up. It won't be long till the Christmas prime stock show. Yeah, a nice time ahead.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, plenty to get through in this series. Apologies, first of all, to some of the shows that have already happened, some of the shows around the communities that we never got a chance to get to with this series of Countryside not starting until this week. But we'll try and get round and chat to which is ever left of them anyway before the Christmas break. But our first item involves the young farmers here on the Isle of Man, where they've been nominated and they are one of the finalists of the award for the Community Initiative of the Year 2025. This award comes about through the Isle of Man Young Farmers Tractor Runs. And who better to talk to than Charlie Corkle, one of the founding members. And I first put it to him, how it all got going.
Well, Sam, we started back in 2018. We wanted to try something different in the young farmers that would help boost the community spirit. And we had a charity auction, and a group of us, we thought it would be quite good to have an auction of straw bales. So we tried to gather up a load of straw bales, and we got one full load, then we got another full load.
Weren't they fairly scarce back then?
Yeah, it was. I can't remember if it was a drought year or it was just a poor year for crops in general, really. I think 18 had been a little bit hard on people. So anyway, we had this auction, and we were lucky enough to have Adam Henson come over, and he auctioned off the products for us. So we held that at Silly Moose campsite, and just the spirit of going around collecting the bales and stuff, we said, oh, it's really good fun. So we said, oh, it'd be nice to do a tractor run. So we thought, oh, we'd do a daytime tractor run somewhere. And then this sort of led on to the idea that maybe we do it at Christmas and have Christmas lights on the tractor, and it's led on from there, really.
Right, and that first year, how many tractors were in the run that year?
We had 25 take part in the first year, and then the next year it went up to 43, and then it just carried on. It snowballed after that, really, and we ended up when we got to last year's, which was 75 tractors.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is nice.
But it's fantastic, isn't it? It all started up the north, but of course the Young Farmers Federation on the Isle of Man, all of the northern, the eastern, the southern and central, all involved in it.
Yeah, everybody gets involved. It's a massive event. I can't take any credit for it. You know, I'm part of a big committee that organise it, and my thanks go to all of them. The committee's made up of myself and Hayley, Michael, Sophie, Bryony, Jacob at the moment, and it's a really good atmosphere, and Hannah helps us a lot, and it just that committee itself, and we can't forget Stuart, he does a lot for us as well with the road closures, and we work closely with all those parties, the interested parties such as the IOM Constabulary, the Roads Policing Unit. They're an excellent help. I can't say my gratitude enough to them, really.
Yeah, because it is, with 75 tractors on the road in this day and age, it's great to have somebody like the Isle of Man Constabulary and all the various businesses that support it as well.
Yeah, it's such a massive event now. It's way beyond comprehension of what we thought when we started it, and anyone can be involved. It doesn't matter. There's so many jobs that can be done within the tractor run itself, whether it's collecting money, whether it's helping with businesses and getting tractors ready, and just helping with the committee itself, you know, helping make sure the event goes smoothly and without any problems. You know, it's a lot of work.
So how did the young farmers take it when you found out you were one of the finalists in this Community Initiative Award for 2025?
Oh, we were overwhelmed. I think the committee, although there's a small group of us that do quite a lot, there's a wider group of us that do a lot more, and I think nobody really expected it within the committee, and it was nice to have that recognition. You know, it's not, you know, we're not about winning, we're just finalists in a group of, there's some other wonderful initiatives in that category, but it was just nice to have a bit of recognition, and I think everybody sort of realizes what we work for and what we have worked hard to achieve within the tractor run itself.
But you usually pick two charities per year, and am I right in saying all of the money raised at the tractor runs go to these two charities?
Yes, so any costs we inhibit are covered by the Federation, Isle of Man Federation of Young Farmers, which is a massive thanks to them from the start. You know, I know we are the Federation of Young Farmers, but it's the collective of them that say, yes, we can go ahead and we can put this money aside to help pay for, we have certain costs that we just can't avoid, and that it's amazing that the young farmers support it like that. So then every single penny we raise can go to the charities we are raising for. And we raise for two charities every year, and it's been two different charities every year since we began. So, you know, it's quite a lot of charities, and we support a lot of local charities, and sometimes it's things, unfortunately, that are close to our hearts that people have maybe been affected by, but it, you know, that's just the way it is, and we try and raise money for those charities that we think deserve it that particular year.
When you look at last year's tractor run, raised I think it was £18,800. That's remarkable to think when you started back then, you know, in your first year, to what it is now, isn't it?
Oh, it's phenomenal. We raised £750 and about half a ton of food for the food bank, you know, and that was amazing the first year. And we thought that was, you know, we thought, oh, wow, that's excellent, you know. And then when you start talking about big figures like, you know, closing on £20,000, a lot of money, Simon. And this year, you know, we never have a target. It's never about the money. It's about people in the community enjoying it. They can come and watch it for free. The only thing we ask is that you wear high-vis, you know, high-vis clothes if you can. But on the money side, we're about to raise, well, this year, hopefully, if everything goes okay, we'll have raised £100,000 in total since we began, and that's a lot of money, isn't it?
It is incredible, and the following it's got now, isn't it? Because it's not just a couple of fairy lights stuck on a tractor now. I mean, they do look absolutely tremendous going out, and to see them, like, sort of driving down Parliament Street with people from 3 or 4 years old to the older generation out supporting it.
Yeah, and the older generation and the younger generation, that spread is massive. It's the whole community. You know, you can see some older people come down to see us, and if the weather's not so nice, they stay in their cars at the side of the road and stuff, and they can still, you know, participate in it, which I think is amazing. I don't know anything else that does that for anywhere else in the world. I can't think of anything off the top of my head that covers everybody, and there's no cost. You know, if you want to come and watch, it's absolutely fine. There's, you know, if you do have some spare change, we'd love for you to donate some money, but don't think you have to. It's not about that at all. It's just about having a good start to Christmas and get the community spirit going, and that's what we like to promote.
It's brilliant, and this year's tractor run, I'd imagine it's well underway, the planning.
Oh yeah, we're well underway. Yeah, it sort of never stopped, really. I would say that's the easiest way to describe it now. It's an all year thing, really. It doesn't. We're starting to have a debrief from the previous year, and at the same time we have plans that we get in place ready for the following year. You know, dates specifically. Then maybe the route we'll sort of talk about, and we'll get involved with the other interested parties. You know, because we work a lot with the commissioners and everybody around that's on the route that can help us, and they do amazing amounts of work as well. It's not just informing them, they have to make plans for themselves. You know, they help us with cones, street furniture. There's so many things that have to happen. It needs a whole year just to plan it.
And the dates for this year's?
So this year's dates are the 6th, Saturday the 6th of December, and we're starting in Port Erin in Church Street. Then we're onto Castletown, so we'll be in Castletown Square for about 7 o'clock, up through Foxdale onto St John's, then on through to Douglas, and we'll finish at the grandstand. And then on Sunday night, which is sort of a change for us because we haven't done the Sunday properly before, we're starting in St John's, Peel, Kirkmichael, then on to Balaff, into Ramsey, and then on through Laxey to the grandstand again for a finish.
Looking forward to it?
Yeah, as always, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, well done to all the Federation Young Farmers and everyone who supports this, because you've raised, as we've been talking about, some fantastic money for local charities in the island, so well done.
Yeah, I can't say any more than that, really. It's just amazing, a thing. If you got a chance, come and see it and help us with the donations. This year we're raising money for I'll Stand Up to Suicide and the Agricultural Benevolent Fund on the island, which are two wonderful causes. They do loads in the community that nobody really sees, and they do have to see it. It's just, know it's there, and I can tell you for a fact it's a fabulous cause.
Charlie Corkle from the Young Farmers there, one of the founders with Hayley and all the gang, getting the tractor run all organised a few years ago, and in their eighth year, Kerry.
It's incredible, and it's gone from strength to strength, and it is part of, as the public say, and as Charlie will mention, it's part of Christmas. This is what starts Christmas here on the Isle of Man. And what a spectacle it is.
Yeah, young and old involved in it. And wow, 18,800 raised in last year's event. And to get the backing of the public and the support behind it now, I think it's a great thing. And as we were talking with Charlie there, young and old enjoy it.
It is fantastic. The streets are lined now. It is part of the calendar. It's not going away. And let's see if they can top that 18,000. Incredible for local charities.
Well, what's happening with the National Farmers Union here on the island?
Well, the elections are coming up, and we will be hearing from President Ian Parsons in next week's programme. But for this week, we catch up with the General Secretary, Sarah Comish, after we had a visitor to the Isle of Man to talk about the Manx Farmers for Schools.
For a couple of years, the NFU in the UK have been running a programme called Farmers for Schools, and it's something that we've definitely been really keen to get more farms into schools, talking about what they do and why they do it. You know, it's really important for understanding about where food comes from, but also it's really important for those that, you know, some people really want to do it. They want to farm. They want to learn how they can get involved in the farming industry. So it's a little bit of both, really. It's the employability sector and also learning a little bit more about food.
Now, to have this gentleman over, he was a teacher himself, teaching agriculture and general education. But where does farming fit into the curriculum?
Well, I don't think it really does at the moment. It doesn't seem to feature very high. It's been quite ad hoc. If farmers have been going into schools, they tend to have been sort of a one-off invite or something like that. For the last couple of years, myself, my colleague Carolyn and Paul Lecrea have been going into schools with the Countryside Code project with primary schools, and that's been really successful. The kids have learned so much, we've learned so much. They get to meet some farm animals, they get to understand why they need to take care in the countryside, and it's been a wonderful project. And we thought, one thing we're not reaching at the moment is secondary schools. It's always more difficult to get into secondary schools because their curriculum's like so tied up with so many things. But they do have like careers assemblies. So one thing we've managed to reach through doing the training we've just done, which I'll talk a little bit more about, is that we've been able to access them to talk about agriculture as a career opportunity.
And there is so many jobs within agriculture. You think, oh, you're just going to be there being a farmer, looking after your animals day to day, and that is it. But it's far more wide than that.
Yeah, definitely. There's everything from consultancy, agronomists, animal care, hauliers, contractors, veterinary, all sorts of things. You know, there's all sorts of skills and career paths that you can follow that are related to the industry. So Farmers for Schools started a couple of years ago, I think, with the NFU. They started doing this training, and Josh joined them, and he and Kathy both sort of run this programme UK-wide, which is huge. You know, he seems to be here, there and everywhere all the time, training up farmers to be able to go into a school and present to year 10, for example, when they're looking at their careers, present to an audience at the school about why you farm, what you do, you know, why it's important to you. And so I thought, well, I think we could adapt that to the Isle of Man. And so I got Josh to come over here and I put it out to our membership if anyone wanted to come along to the training to get in touch with me. And what was really amazing was in the UK, they're lucky if they can get four or half a dozen people in the training session. And over here we had 15. It was amazing. It was brilliant.
And that is so great. But those people are willing to share their knowledge, you know, their experiences of growing up on a farm. But like we were saying before, Sarah, administration is a huge part of agriculture as well. So you don't have to be out and getting dirty. But to, you know, to put these job roles out there so people understand that they're there is critically important. But also it's getting the right information out. These people are also our consumers.
Yeah, and I think it's really important for farmers to be able to tell their own story in that respect. We had, when we had our 15 members that came for the training, there was such a variety of people there. You know, some people are born into a farming family. Others have come into it. They've had a total career change and gone into farming. Some of the stuff we really want to get across is, you know, like our high welfare, low disease status. You know, a lot of our animals are out there grazing most of the year. You know, our chickens are all free range. All of those wonderful things that farms do on the Isle of Man, looking after the environment, you know, creating this biosphere that we've got. We need to get that across to people who maybe they're looking at stuff, you know, online. And getting a bit of misinformation there. So part of this training is to be able to go into schools and bust a few myths. Definitely. And for students to understand what a farmer is, what a farmer looks like. You know, they're just, well, like you're one, you know. I mean, you know, there's a wide variety of people out there that are farming. They're not what sometimes is imagined as a farmer.
That is so, so true. And some of the best farmers are people that have never really been born into farming. They're first generation farmers. They've had an opportunity to get a field at the corner of the village and they've kept a few sheep and they've gone on to great things. It's just getting that start, isn't it, sometimes?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the difficulties, especially these days when land is so difficult to get, especially for young farmers starting out. We certainly want to do another programme of information starting in January next year, you know, doing some advisory stuff with young farmers about how to get started in the industry, because particularly on the Isle of Man, it's so difficult if you're not born into it. But it's not impossible, you know, and one of the things we're doing at the union is we're really trying hard to help people get a foot on that ladder of being able to farm themselves or just be in one of those related industries. You know, as I say, there's such a wide range of things you can get involved in that are related to farming, working outdoors, you know, managing land, whatever it is. And it's probably not, for many decades, it's kind of not been really a feature of school education and careers talk. You know, it certainly wasn't when I was there. You know, nobody talked about going into farming. And these days, I think that there's a lot of students out there looking for something different to do. You know, we're not all academics and it, you know, people want to do something else and we need to get that over to them.
And that said, Sarah, you do attend the careers fair at the Villa Marina for the children that are aged ready to, you know, to make their own choices, aren't they? So the Manx National Farmers Union do attend the careers fair. What do you offer out for that?
So that's an initiative which I have to credit my colleague Carolyn with, because she started this one. And we do go along to the careers fair and the higher education fair. And we just try and sort of raise awareness of that wide range of careers options that are available. And it does range from, you know, whether you're doing butchery, whether you're doing veterinary, whether you're doing land management and agronomy, or whether you're doing, all sorts of things, you know, agricultural machinery, you know, contracting, everything like that. So it covers a lot of ground. What we try and do is we try and open up those options to people, really. So we're not an expert in every single field, but we just kind of can point people in the right direction and we can make those contacts for them.
And that said, this is what you're trying to do with this Manx Farmers for Schools as well. You're trying to buddy up farming people that are willing to go and tell their story to the schools. So they're able to get in touch with you, Sarah, here at the Manx National Farmers Union to organise a session?
Yeah, so our website is imminent, our new website, and I'm hoping that we're going to have a page on there that you can have a look at what Farmers for Schools does, because it is tailored for secondary schools, but it can be adapted to primary schools as well. And, you know, people will be able to get the contact details there. But if there's anyone out there that would like a farmer to come in and talk to their students, just get in touch with us here at the Union, and we can make the arrangements.
There we go. That was General Secretary Sarah Comish, passionate as ever to talk about the Manx Farmers for Schools.
Yeah, and it's all part of the education. There's just not as many youngsters involved in farming as when I started out, when I left school, I was on the farms and, of course, grew up on a farm. But there was nothing for us then. It was the sort of start of a few of the farms shutting down, some of the older generation moving on.
This is it. It has been sad times. And this is why Sarah has had this initiative to get Josh over here to the Isle of Man, to have 15 farmers willing to train to be teachers, to go into the Manx schools. That's got to be something to be recognised and to inspire the next generation. Whether you're a farmer or not, at least there's an opportunity there now to get involved, to see if you can start out and where you can start out. So good luck to Sarah there, and all the detail will be on the Manx National Farmers Union page. But isn't that great, Simon, to have that opportunity here on the island?
Yes, it certainly is. And it's one of them things. It goes with the change in policies of the youth and their thing, and the way, I suppose, that the education system works, where at the moment there's a lot of crying out for some of the trades.
Absolutely.
That, people, you know, there's in the last 10 or 20 years, there's been so many rewards offered to keep you out of the trades, and that's going to be detrimental in the future, I think. You're listening to Countryside here on Manx Radio with Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark. Well, at the weekend, I popped along to see a fantastic photo exhibition of Kirkmichael Village. It's got everything. And they had an exhibition there showing photographs and aerial photographs from many years ago, and a lot of them from the current era as well. Mike Clegg told me more about the exhibition.
We've been holding exhibitions like this since, 1997,
really? I think,
when we started. So it's an annual thing. But the titles of the exhibitions vary. And we noticed that a few years ago, Michael Past and Present, or Then and Now, I think they called it, was one of the exhibitions. And we thought it was about time we held that again, because Kirkmichael and the parts of the parish certainly have changed quite a bit in the last 10, 20 years.
Yeah, and the brilliant thing about Kirkmichael, it's a lot of people have to go through it backwards and forwards, no matter where you're going. But it's got everything, hasn't it? It's got a petrol station still. It's got the butcher's shop. It's got the church, the pub. It's got a campsite, a football pitch, yes, hasn't it?
Don't forget the cafe,
yeah,
the tea room, yeah, which is absolutely great. And there are quite a few shops here still. We do miss Edgar's, the quail, yeah, shop, I must say. But we've been very lucky over the years, I think, as a village, to have facilities on our doorstep. Yeah. We've been spoiled.
Yeah. And it is, but we mention all of them, which a lot of villages, there are a lot of villages around the island, of course, but to have so much packed into an area like this, as well as the fire station, which has been, you know, a massive part of the Kirkmichael community over many, many years, hasn't it?
That's right, yes. Things like that are very important for communities, I think. And as I say, we've been spoiled. We're very lucky, but it gives us a very rich history, of course. And Kirkmichael's been quite important for 1,000 years, really, thanks to the close proximity of Bishop's Court. And of course, it's fabulous to see the work that's been going on in the last few years at Bishop's Court. And it's going to be wonderful to, mm-hmm, see and read about the research that's been going on there in recent years.
But when we're looking at these photographs that's on exhibition here, there's, I'll draw the attention firstly to that wonderful aerial shots, so crystal clear in black and white, showing it from, well, we're not allowed to reveal the year, are we? Well, you can now.
Well, there's debate on. Different people have different ideas, but it is possible to date them pretty accurately when you look and see that Mull View is under construction.
Yeah. Was it a Parkinson's bus I see there or not?
I don't know. It was Kelly Brothers who built Mull View. But you can date them, these things, by seeing what's going on in the village at the time. But it's just fantastic to see the fields in the centre of the village, which are now housing estates, of course, and the Glenwillan boating lake in full action.
Yeah, you know, and the wonderful viaduct going across.
The viaduct across, yes.
And, but the interesting one as well, you can see that the Mitre, which I think still holds the oldest pub on the island.
It claims to. There might be other pubs are available who probably have similar claims. No one really knows with any great accuracy which is the oldest pub on the island. The some down south would probably claim to be some of the oldest, but certainly the Mitre Hotel has a very rich history and is one of the early pubs.
And when you look at the aerial photograph, you can see them, the tents remind me of the pictures you see of Cunningham's Camp and all of those, and Knockalo.
Yes, the bell tents all set up.
What was going on then?
Dozens of them, schools from across. So originally, I think there were schools from Liverpool used to come over to camp, but some camped at Glenwillan, some camped at Glenmore, and others camped on the field behind the Mitre, which was actually the Fairfield. That's Michael Fairfield there. So the Hollantide fairs, etc., were held behind the Mitre, which accounts, I suppose, for the proximity of the courthouse and the jail and the black hole, so the drunks on the fair day didn't have far to go to be locked up and sobered before they were let out in the morning. So it's all good history, isn't it?
Yeah, and what's your, you know, when you get to set these exhibitions up here, looking at probably photos that or maybe you haven't seen before even. I mean, what's caught your eye this year, Mike?
Oh, gosh, that's a difficult one, isn't it? I think, like you say, the photos from the air, really, some of those dating back, suddenly realise how much the village has changed in the last 40, 50 years. Parts of it we can go through and look at Greystone's cottage opposite the pharmacy, for instance, which is one of the oldest little cottages in the village, has barely changed at all in the last 200 years. And yet you've got large swathes of land which were once a football pitch, but it's now a housing estate. Yeah. And you say there are quite a lot of changes, but there are also certain aspects which have barely changed at all.
Yeah, but that's the fantastic thing about these photographs. You see one photograph of 1920s or 30s motorbikes with people sitting on their windowsills watching them.
Oh, yes, we haven't been able to put it on today, but we've got some video showing the Cashin family's video. Tom Cashin's family video has been on the big screen all weekend. And it's wonderful to see things like the trains pulling up at the station, the youngsters at school having their sports and the Manx dancing, things like that. But you say the TT or Manx Grand Prix with people sat almost on the road, literally watching the bikes go past at not very fast speeds, but we didn't half think they were fast in those days. Nothing to compare with what you can see now, but we've actually got a video as well of one of the school camps you mentioned, where the youngsters are actually on the roof of the courthouse, walking around the 2-inch ledge on the outside of the castellations, while the TT bikes are going past just a few feet beneath them. Yeah. And health and safety was a bit different in those days.
It was. But you see the fabulous shots of the TT, past and present.
Yeah.
But Kirkmichael is such a unique place, obviously, with its situation to the hills. And there's some marvellous pictures of the snowstorms that's been there, which seem to attract the snow from the mountains.
Yes, if we get the easterly winds, then certainly we can look out in the winter. Doesn't happen very often, but I can remember as a youngster not being able to get to the relatives in Kirkmichael in, was it 1963, I think, wasn't it, with the big snow then? And it was a fortnight before people could get through to the village, and that's nothing new because it was happening in 1895 as well, where Kirkmichael was cut off for many weeks. Mm. In fact, the stories of one of the vicars from across who used to live in Kirkmichael for the summer and had a house here, but it was happened to be here over the winter in 1895 and couldn't get the train because the trains weren't running, couldn't get it out on the roads. So this family from Kelly Brothers got their boat out, rowed the vicar and his wife to Peel, where they could catch the boat to Douglas and head off for Liverpool, where he was due to give a talk. So there's some great history.
Yeah. Well, it's really marvellous for the volunteers of Michael Heritage to put all this on every year, and it's fascinating, and it's really great to see that these memories are still preserved, because Kirkmichael does have a special place in lots of people's hearts, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it does, and hopefully it will for many years to come.
Mike Clegg, one of the members of the Michael Heritage, showing me around the exhibition, and some fantastic photographs were on display there, really were. And as we were talking about there, Kirkmichael, it's got everything, really, and certainly had everything in its heyday.
It certainly has. And when back then, I suppose, when you didn't have the motor car as good as it is now, or the roads quite as good, then I suppose you'd need everything in one place. And you do find that West Coast gets serious snowfall. So when we had that big snow, it was isolated. Yeah. So it's handy to have all those amenities. But has it changed much?
The middle of it hasn't. No, not really. The football pitch is still there. It's got a fire station, the pub, which the old controversy about whether it's the oldest on the Isle of Man.
Ooh,
and it had the big bank, which the building is still there. And of course, the school's coming over and camping in behind the pub there. It's just some marvellous memories, and it's great that they've been preserved on photograph and film over these years. So anyway, that's it for this week's Countryside. If you have anything you want to feature on the programme, send us an email, countryside@manxradio.com, or leave a message for Kiri or myself here at Manx Radio 682 600, and we'll try and get back and feature your items on Countryside. So until next week, from me, Simon Clark.
And me, Kiri Kermode.
We'll see you then. Ta-ra.
Bye-bye.